Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you to Tech Gumbo. Here on our show, we like to talk about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. Without geek speak or a bunch of acronyms, we just want to talk about technology that's important to us and important to you.
We also want to thank Cardinal Capital. To business owners and CEOs, hopefully you have a good relationship with your lender. Even if you do, sometimes you face other challenges, such as a need to consolidate debt, a want to level out your cash flow, or a desire to buy new equipment because you're in growth mode. If this describes you, give Cardinal Capital a call, whatever your need or challenge. They have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business, and they want you to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business, so they can present your needs to a lending institution that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important for lenders, and they are good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they will help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your situation, all while being fun and easy to deal with. For more detailed information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net. You can also call them 225-308-3700 or email them info@cardinalcap.net.
Do ourselves a big old help in a Tech Gumbo today.
Sounds great.
Let's get into the news and updates.
The most consequential technology in America today is an app.
And it's YouTube. I think this is a great take, and I agree.
When you consider that more people listen to music on YouTube than on Spotify or any radio or all the rest of them, more people certainly watch videos on YouTube than any of the streaming platforms, including Netflix, it's amazing how much content is there.
Oh, it's truly an unlimited amount of content that if you were to try and start watching, there are more YouTube videos being uploaded every second than you could possibly watch in your entire lifetime. And there's also a lot of good stuff too, that it's not just mindless garbage. A lot of time whenever I'm searching on YouTube videos, they're really well made, well produced, well thought out by, you know, a small team of people who worked really hard, and it's all super cool.
It is absolutely amazing that if you want to know how to take apart a washing machine, you can go to YouTube, put in the manufacturer, the exact dishwasher or washing machine that you have, and there'll be 25 videos showing you how to take it apart, how to look for this. I know because I've had to do it, but it's not just washing machines, whether it's if it's learning how to code or learning how to use Excel or learning anything.
Learning about history, learning about economics, learning about science, or zoning out and watching cat videos or watching sports videos. There is an incredible amount of content.
For as much content as up there, unlike the Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Reddit folks, when you post enough content and enough people watch it, you can actually get paid.
The YouTube content creators were some of the first people to really make their living on the internet. And that is a defined category of person, is once you reach a certain number of streams, you can make a middle-class income. And once you go above that tier, you can start to pay a team of people on to work on your production, to work on your script writing, on your editing, all those things that go into making a YouTube video. And so this is actually becoming a marketplace, and it seems to work pretty well, actually.
I love to watch a lot of the sailing channels, the people who live on these boats full time sailing around the world. And that's how they make their money. They pay their bills. They buy their groceries based upon revenue from YouTube. But it comes down to each dollar that an advertiser pays for commercials that people see on YouTube, the person who created the video gets 55 cents. YouTube or Google gets the other 45 cents.
And this balance is by far the most creator-friendly balance of any of the platforms that you basically can't get paid to post on Reddit. You know, Twitter/X has some payment system in place, but I don't think there's any evidence that anyone has actually turning that into a consistent, stable income. You have Instagram, but it's unclear how profitable it is to be on Instagram directly from Instagram itself. And so that really leaves YouTube as the place forever. That is your full-time job. You make YouTube videos and you produce YouTube videos and you star in YouTube videos. And that is how you can actually make enough money to make a living there.
Yes. Once you've become a YouTuber, then, you know, you're in a whole separate category of, and unlike people who, you know, you create a video and just one or two post kind of thing, that's fine and dandy. But when you're pumping out 30-minute videos once a week and they're really good quality and you get these sailing channels with 500,000, 600,000, 1 million subscribers to their channel, that's a really impressive stat.
Interestingly, or unsurprisingly, YouTube has actually become a source of training data because right now everything is about AI. A lot of the AI companies such as OpenAI have tried to transcribe YouTube videos to feed them into their models. This is explicitly against YouTube's terms of services. However, YouTube can't actually raise a big fuss about it because YouTube is also transcribing videos from a lot of places where it doesn't have permission to. And so the New York Times recently had a story that reveals from inside of Google, wherever Google realized this was happening, got upset about it. And then lawyers were like, hey, the pot is calling the kettle black here. And so that just kind of shows the value of these videos and also what's happening in the AI world. But the fact that YouTube also escapes scrutiny in a lot of ways, that, you know, there's all this attention about the harms of TikTok, all this attention about the harms of Instagram. YouTube had the right-wing rabbit holes or the pipelines wherever it was radicalizing people, but it seems to have mostly fixed those. And we really talk about it very neutrally now. There's not a lot of people who are angry at YouTube.
Well, there's about to be more people who are, because YouTube, they started their ad blocker crackdown. And with some of the bigger ad blockers, they've shut those things down. Well, they've come out now and said, we don't want any ad blockers. So we're going to start blocking or shutting down more ad blockers, which is interesting because you can go to Google and download the ad blockers.
Yeah, the Google Chrome store prominently displays ad blockers. And so the Chrome store and YouTube are underneath the same umbrella. And so you could just imagine the people from YouTube walking down the hall and knocking on the door and saying, hey, cut it out.
Yes, when you go to the Chrome store and it says YouTube ad blocker. Really? I mean, hey, are y'all looking at the same page of notes that we're looking at here? Because it says you're not supposed to do that. Well, they're paying us advertising revenue to do that. So here we go again. Who wins out?
My guess is that it's Google's smart enough, and they figured out how to make money on both ends of this. You don't get to be one of the most valuable corporations in the world without having a few tricks up your sleeve.
Moving along to another incredibly profitable tech company, Microsoft. They've had some issues trying to get people to upgrade to Windows 11. And one of the problems, people were getting the blue screen of death during the upgrade if there were certain drivers not pre-installed.
Intel had a smart sound technology piece of software designed to handle voice interactions with your computer, which is interesting that this was the thing which held up some of the releases of Windows 11, because I think I can count on one hand the number of times I've ever issued a voice command to my actual computer. And so if that was the thing, if I wanted to upgrade to Windows 11 and that was the thing blocking me, it would feel a little ridiculous. I have not upgraded to Windows 11. I'm still on Windows 10, primarily for the fact that Windows has never actually given a reason as to why you should. What benefits are there other than it's just kind of the next one? But if that is someone who you are really excited about Windows 11 and you were blocked, you now have one more path to get there.
Basically, you just have to make sure you go out and get the latest updates and get the latest drivers. And you get that in place, then you can upgrade to Windows 11 because, gosh, it's just so great to be on Windows 11. And Microsoft cannot get too far away from scrutiny. Because the big Russian hack that started back in December and really kind of came to the forefront in January is still having problems. And this time, it's gotten all the way into the federal government.
Well, turns out a whole lot of people use Microsoft products in the government, at all levels of the government, in all the branches of the government. And so whenever Microsoft was hacked and the midnight blizzard could make their way around and start to see things they shouldn't, this was intentional. Whenever hacking groups, whatever, you know, state-level hacking groups, large, organized, powerful entities, they're not fishing. They're not looking for anything. They have specific targets, specific goals, specific plans. And that means that this was part of a process. They retrieve that information from Microsoft because they're actually after U.S. secrets. And it looks like they're making their way into U.S. secrets.
Yes, the United States Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, has issued an alert urging all the agencies to take whatever steps they can to fend off this threat from Russia. And, oh, by the way, this is the same group that got hacked, talked about that a week or two ago. Now they're telling everybody else to go out and build up your defenses and keep the Russians away. Well, good luck with that, boys and girls, because it's pretty tough.
Yeah, it's also pretty tough that this is Microsoft as the cybersecurity company. That's really how they've been trying to brand themselves. It's really what they've been standing up a lot of their software as. That they're going to say, you know, we're going to be the forefront of cybersecurity. Well, when the Chinese and the Russians both get to you a month apart, that really kind of asks a lot of questions about, are you close to as good as you said you were?
This is just tough to absorb when you're Microsoft or Apple or Google or anybody of that level, when you're the operating system for 85% of the computers on Earth. 85% of the computers, not smartphones, actual computers. And you've got that much dominance. I mean, there is no competition at that point. You're a monopoly. They're going to come after the monopoly. And they've gotten into the source code now, and they know how to fend off attacks by the cybersecurity companies trying to defeat these hackers. But the hackers have the source code. It's really, really going to be hard, because you're going to have to basically rewrite a lot of code to get the Russians out of your code.
Yeah, it's messy, it's complicated, and it's incredibly difficult, as you're pointing out.
It is messy, and it's going to take a long time for Microsoft to fix this and get the Russians out of Windows. Moving along, Disney has unveiled the HoloTile floor, and this looks really cool.
It's a brilliant piece of hardware. Or I guess pieces of hardware. The HoloTile, you have one individual little puck, basically, and then you stack the pucks together in a disc, and you can stack the discs together to make an entire floor, basically. And each individual little puck rotates and can be controlled, you know, how fast it spins, left or right. Does it rotate? What is the yaw rotation as well? And so you have fine-grained control of all each individual one and as a whole. And what it means is that you can move stuff around from a person down to a package.
So you can be on this HoloTile floor, and you can be walking, you can be running. And if you've got a green screen with all the green screen moving behind you, you've not ever physically moved from the spot where you are, but you're running as hard as you can. It's kind of like being on a treadmill, but not on a treadmill. You're on a floor. The whole floor is just these tiny little 2-inch looking discs that are kind of spinning and doing things to manipulate. And what's really cool, so if you're a Star Wars fan and you do the Jedi thing where you're using the Force, they've got a hand tool where you can point at something and you can move it across the floor as if you're using the Force, because it's following the motions in your hand. You're bringing augmented reality, virtual reality, green screen technology into a whole new immersive universe that's really going to start blowing people away.
Oh, you could definitely see the applications in filmmaking. You know, this comes from the Disney Research Group, and you have to think that with as much media as they are producing, they're always looking for new techniques they can try, you know, different things to bring different effects to their shows, to their movies. But also you can imagine that Disney does a lot of animatronics work, does a lot of practical effects, that, you know, ILM is an incredibly prestigious special effects studio, which was part of Lucas, which got bought by Disney. And so you have to see this growing in a lot of different ways in a lot of different places.
The last story we wanted to get to, we saw this Humane AI pen, which, to give it a general description, if you remember Star Trek, the little lapel pin that they could tap and, you know, call Mr. Scott up on the Star Trek and beam me up, Scotty, and you can all talk to anybody with it. It kind of looks a little bit like that.
You can see, if you were to just imagine the thing, if you were to say, hey, there's a small little box, you know, about the size of the walkie-talkie that you wear on your shoulder, and, okay, you're going to put AI into that, and, you know, you think about what your Siri can do on your smartphone, and that you're going to put a camera on, you're going to put a microphone on it, and it's all going to work together to do some cool stuff. Okay, I get that, like, conceptually what's happening here. But the problem is that, one, it's incredibly expensive. It's $700 for the piece of hardware, and then $25 per month on top of that. So already your price point is pretty high.
So this thing, you know, it's got a camera on it so that you can tap it and tell it to start taking pictures or taking video. And that's great. And it'll send that picture or that video to your cloud-based storage that gets with your cellular, your $25 a month. Except for if your shirt gets pulled in the wrong direction, now instead of looking directly in front of you, it could be looking off 30 degrees. Or it can be looking down or looking up or looking not directly in front of you, which you're hoping it's going to be taking the picture of.
Yeah. Then you also have simpler things, like whenever you have, you know, you're cooking and you just want to say, hey, start a timer. The problem is that functionality doesn't exist. You can't set a timer with this thing. You can't add to a calendar from this thing. You can sometimes add to a list. And these are all pretty simple features. I would imagine that this would be some of the first stuff that I got working because of how simple and easy it is. And the fact that these really bare bones, basic tools don't exist, I have a lot of deep further questions about what does it actually do?
My guess is this was, we just got to get something out onto the shelves. I don't care. It may suck. It's not doing what version 2.0 will be better. Version 3.0 will be even better than that. And that's 5 years from now. But right now, get it out the door. Nobody's going to buy it, but that's okay. We're going to take our lumps on this one, and then we'll get better the next time.
I almost wonder, though, if releasing a product this bad actually hurts you long term. Because it also has a terrible battery life. It also has a lot of other things wrong with it. And if anybody sees this and just says, oh, that thing is terrible, I would rather not know it exists and my first experience with it be, oh, well, that's kind of good, as opposed to seeing it sooner and being like, that's trash.
Yeah, when you said that battery is a problem, that battery gets really, really hot. To where you can't even touch it, or you don't want it on your shirt because it burns your skin. Yeah, that's really not good.
And it also only lasts a few hours. It does not last more than 6 hours if you're using it. And so that's not even a whole day. This really just has a lot of issues.
We want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. Based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, General Informatics is a premier IT managed service provider delivering exceptional managed IT solutions to a diverse base of customers across the southeastern United States. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 180 plus employees, including technicians, engineers, program designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of business schools and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula. So proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show or you'd like to hear this or previous episodes, check out our podcast available on almost every podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time we post a new episode. If you like our show or you have any suggestions, let us know on our website at www.techgumbo.net. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.